Today, our guest is Michael Brannon. He's Radio Alabama's Executive Vice President. And Michael, welcome.
Thank you so much. Right. I appreciate you letting me be here.
Well, normally you're in this chair.
True.
So it's kind of fun to maybe reverse roles and get you on the other side of the table.
There. True. All right. Yeah.
Michael is in addition to being here with us as the Executive VP of Radio Alabama, Michael for some years is a well-known media personality in both radio and television here in Alabama and across the Southeast. And he's also an award-winning journalist.
I would say so, I guess so. I guess I'm a little modest about that.
I know you are. Yeah, but
it's an honor to be recognized for efforts
good.
In my
well,
field.
Well, and
yes.
You should be.
Yeah.
So as we go back looking at Michael Brannon, journalist and media personality, we're going to focus on several things here and start with the early years about how you got into journalism. How did you find yourself here?
Oh, gosh, where do you begin? When I was a kid walking around, my mom would always say I would walk around the house with a microphone in my hand. And
I read that in your bio.
Yeah, right. And I would say that, I originally wanted to go into the entertainment industry in some capacity. I wanted to be an actor, wanted to be in movies, and I've dabbled a little bit in that in my adult life. But time evolved and started making movies when I was a kid, and it really started from there, that creative process. And then when I got into high school, I realized, hey, maybe TV, news, journalism might be broadcast. That might be the side of things that I wanted to accomplish. And so I started a new school news program in high school that was a school announcement, video announcement news program. And then in college, I went and started working with the athletic department at the University of South Alabama and got into broadcast, doing radio and video as well. And from there, it snowballed, interned at CNN, came back and interned at my local NBC affiliate. Then,
so a wealth of experience.
Yeah. I mean, it just went from there. Yeah. And
so
here I am.
Started young because you were attracted to media in some way or the other.
Right.
Some kind of, early on in, broadcast on television, and then discovering journalism is what you could then put on media.
Exactly.
So you basically looked at not only communication, but also journalism is where you wanted to find your niche.
Yeah, and I realized that in the world of journalism, you're telling stories. You're sometimes telling stories of the people that can't tell stories, or telling those stories about the unheard as well. And you're also holding people accountable.
That's interesting. I want to back up and catch that. You're telling stories for people who may, in a sense, not be able to tell the story, but they're interested in the story. So what you see in terms of communication and as a journalist is to be able to articulate that story so that it is interesting to them and gives them something of value that they can, share.
100%.
Good deal.
Yeah.
So as we look back at this, sports and then you were news, what's the most exciting journalistic piece that you were part of? Just narrow it down to one.
That's hard to say. Journalistically, I would say just holding people accountable. I don't have a specific instance, but I would say over the course of time, because I have done news and I have done sports, and sports has journalistic integrity with it, I would say, covering high school and professional newsmakers when it comes to sports, that has been one of the greatest joys that I've gotten out of it, because sports is all-encompassing. It's relatable to people, not only just the athletes, but also family and viewers as well.
That's great.
And so that's really been one of those rewarding.
Back to your aim to be able to tell a story for people, then you are able to get into telling the stories of young athletes and older athletes and show them in their best light, in their families, their communities, and things like that.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Is there one interview that comes to mind?
I don't know that there's necessarily one interview other than a – yes, there is one. And I had to dig back in the vault for a second because over the course of time you do so many stories. There was one that stuck out that a kid in high school at Chickasaw High School, he had arthrogryposis, which is a muscular deficiency in your arms and legs in some capacity. And he was a kicker on the football team. And the story that was told was one of really great compassion, because his teammates were the ones that allowed him to really perform on the field. You know, he might not have made every goal, field goal. He might not have kicked it the farthest when it came to a kickoff right. in the football game. But it was the participation that his coaches and his players, his teammates, were able to encourage him on. So that was one of the most gratifying stories of my
time. Always look for those kind of human interest stories inside of the sport, inside of whatever's going on.
It's not always about politics and making money in sports. Yeah. It's always about human interest.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Yeah.
Because I think we've long since forgotten the notion of sport. Mm-hmm. And that's probably a discussion for another day. And I don't want to go down that tangent.
Sure,
but
sure.
It's important to remember that it's really part of our life. It's not necessarily a way to just make all that money,
right.
although people do.
Yeah.
Good on them.
Yeah.
So there was an indication that you had and you mentioned the movies, that you had a start in movies. How did that go for you?
I was working for the Fox affiliate in Mobile and had a story where I was covering a local movie a movie that was being shot locally, I should say. And it starred Nicolas Cage. And I had met him a few years prior to this interview that I was going to do covering the story. And sure enough, I pulled out the picture. I interviewed the director of the movie. I said, "Hey, I know Nick. How about a role in the film?" They had an opening for a reporter. I got the role, and to this day, I get a royalty check for
$1.98.
Typecast
all the way down the road.
Yeah.
Well,
but it was fun.
They did well typecasting.
And they came back for three other movies, and they
And you haven't moved to Hollywood yet?
No.
Is that coming up next?
I don't know. Maybe in another life. We'll see.
Yeah, don't leave here. I think Central Alabama needs you more than Hollywood does. So we're going to come up on break in just a few minutes, and we're going to talk to Michael about his role in life, particularly you and Jamie, his beautiful wife, have had some additions to your family, and we'll talk about those this year and how that impacts you and changes views of life and leadership as we go. So join us, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bull Gap Journal here at the Radio Alabama Sylacauga studio, and we're talking with Michael Brannon, the Executive Vice President of Radio Alabama, about his career as a media personality, both in terms of on the air and also his journalism expertise. Your experience and track record positioned you as an industry leader, particularly, I think, here in Central Alabama, in fact, the whole state, because, I mean, you sort of run the roads from Mobile all the way up to the 65 and then 280 corridor. So you are, in a sense, a mainstay in terms of, I think, representing from a communication perspective what goes on in Central Alabama. So it's positioned you in broadcasting and in other forms of media. So now departing, particularly from, say, the industry, but now looking at the community, how do you think that positions you to be a community leader?
Well, you have to consider yourself part of the community first. So we are based in Sylacauga. I don't live in Sylacauga. I did live in Sylacauga when I first got here. My wife and I live just southeast of Birmingham now. But being able to be involved with the community in terms of knowing the clients, knowing the chambers of commerce people, the members who are making the community thrive, and knowing that you're able to communicate with them on their level, making sure that their message is clearly being communicated to the public, to their clients, to their customers, that is where I see the importance of making sure that I am involved with the community. Like I said, whether that's attending a chamber coffee, whether that's speaking at a civic organization, partnering with the schools, you know, when it comes to involving students in this field of the industry, that's what allows somebody like me in my field to be able to be more in tune with the community.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And so I think the point that we're making is that it's more than just the broadcast. It's more than just the radio station, the 1,000%. TV station. It really becomes about communication across the community, across the people in the community, across the commerce, so that you get the stories right, you get the messages right, you represent people's needs and what's important to them, and that's the role that, in my mind, a communications leader then would play in the community is going back to the people to make it a value, particularly in this day and age. I mean, where we live, where information moves, you know, at the speed of electrons.
We're not doing ourselves due diligence in the industry if we are not keeping the people first and foremost.
Absolutely.
It is the people in the news entertainment industry in which I am ingrained right now. The importance of the people, the listeners that are depending on us for information, for news, for weather, for sports, right. That is key upon us delivering that promise to the listeners across all platforms, whether that's broadcast, whether that's social media, whether that's direct email. That is really key and ingrained in my mind to be able to say we've got to deliver on that promise first and foremost.
So this just popped in my mind.
Yeah.
Journalism.
Mm-hmm.
Where is it today? True, honest journalism, as I grew up with.
Truthfully, journalism is broken in the traditional sense of what you probably grew up with, and knowing what the Walter Cronkites of the world
used to
position themselves on the nightly newscast when you only had three options, and that was the gospel truth, right?
But today, we trusted them.
You trusted them, and that's part of the problem today, that the national level, it's a different echelon of local media, has against each other. It is a distrust now because dollars and cents drive the messaging as opposed to the messaging driving the dollars and cents.
Right.
And that is where local media has also been affected, because local media and national media and social media have all been lumped into one media entity where, frankly, people who are just uneducated in the space, and there's really no other way to put it, it is what it is, don't understand that there is differences between how all of these things work and move. The long or the short answer to your question is it is broken, and it's up to not only independent journalists, but also local journalists, and even to the people on the national level to make sure they are doing good by their journalistic mores and an ethical way.
Exactly.
To make sure that their message is being reported.
There are moral principles in journalism and ethical principles.
Right.
And so I took us down this road.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah.
But I think it's important that we understand is that we've got to look for truth in journalism.
Absolutely.
And you can't with information and it being just a free flood zone of information, you've got to understand and even question, is what I'm hearing true?
Right, right. You have to be objective.
Bottom line.
And I will say, just because we're on this point for just a second, yes, there we have done opinion pieces because there's a platform for that.
There is.
We have done pieces where we say, okay, yeah, this is gonna generate a lot of great content or a lot of great readership because we're talking about X, Y, and Z. We know it's going to be a good content receiver for people because they might not have otherwise interacted with us before. So if we put something out there that they might interact with us, they may stick around later when they see that we have more better content.
Yep.
But on the third piece of that, it has to be factual. If you're going to report a story, whatever it may be, and there are two sides to every story.
There are.
You have to be able to say, hey, we reached out. We might not have heard back. We're going to continue to follow up. We'll let you know. Let the reader know you're doing your due diligence so that you can be trusted. Don't just report one side and just call it a day.
Tell the truth and be trusted.
Yeah. So,
okay, I'm going to change gears on
sure.
this. I talked about you and Jamie and your family.
Yeah.
So tell us about now this newfound skill of parenting and how that changes your view of community and leadership.
It's I don't even know where to begin on something like this. Yeah, we have two beautiful children, Michael and Grace. They are twins. They are not identical. A lot of people say, well, wow, you have twins. It's a boy and a girl. Are they identical? No, they're not. It's a boy and a girl. They are 9 months old, and they are the center of our lives. They are just incredible. They have such stunning personalities, and it's really put life into perspective, because you don't realize until you have a child of your own. And I understand that there are those that are unfortunately not able to experience that type of love, but there is a different type of love for your child. And when that happens, it really puts life into perspective like that. I mean, it's really, there's no other way to describe it. But they're wonderful. I have recently been able to be at home with them a little bit more during the day while my wife is doing other things. And it's not for the faint of heart, I'll say that. For two at one time. People say, well, how do you do it with two? I say, well, how do you do it with one? I don't know the difference.
Right.
All I got is two.
Well, so. Being a parent certainly can define your life, obviously,
sure.
and define your role as a leader and as a family leader.
Absolutely.
So, okay, we're going to take 1 minute or less and tell us all what you think your greatest life lesson is that you would want to share with folks.
My greatest life lesson, I would say, is probably to say, don't say I can't. I had a very good friend, family friend, who was like a grandfather to me, who was a retired Vietnam Army colonel, who always said, don't say I can't. Find a way to do. And I've lived by that my whole life.
Always find a way.
Always find a way. And if you don't find a way, and you may fail at something, guess what? That's a lesson learned. That's a step in the right direction. Even if you fail.
That's right. I agree.
You're going to learn from that, and you're not going to do it again the next time.
Well, but if you do.
If you do, that's on
then
right?
You didn't learn that lesson.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, listen, Michael, thanks for chatting with us.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
And thanks for letting me have your chair.
Absolutely.
Today.
So. You got it. Yeah.
And thank you for joining us on the Bull Gap Journal here in Radio Alabama Studios in Sylacauga. You can find out more about Bull Gap Journal online at radioalabama.net/bullgap, where we talk about life, leadership, and common sense.